Filled with joy, they पतितानां पावनेभ्यो Coils of Kaliya and the Vajrasis saw Krishna coming, everyone became blissful and happy, joyful. Before that, they were totally in great anxiety because they considered Krishna an ordinary human being, an ordinary child. They saw Krishna entangled in the coils of Kaliya, they were in great depression. But when they saw Krishna coming out and totally safe, unharmed, they were back to their original joyful situation. So this is the situation of how envy works. Kaliya, the personification of all envy, when he was ruling, everyone came follows and depressed. Then he got, then he left their lives, left their bodies. It was a poison of envy. But as soon as Krishna enters in the lives, we see how everyone regains their lost consciousness, lost happiness, lost joy. Again, just for the same story of Vaikiki and Mathura. Vaikiki was such a happy, when she heard first that Ram is going to be coronated as the prince regent, she was absolutely joyful. She had no desire to install colors and make him the king. But when the poison entered through the words of Mathura, Vaikiki lost all her joy and cheer in life. And then, you know the story from she successfully banished the Lord Rama and became worse. And then later she had to regret a lot. And then Bharat came and informed Vaikiki that he had no desire to become the king or enjoy the kingdom. Vaikiki was actually, Vaikiki was shattered in her hopes. And then she realized her folly and then she went into great depression, regretfully. And then she realized her mistake and then she had to regret her whole life until the end of the 14 years. So that's how envy works, makes our life so morose, so depressing, so unhappy. And as soon as we allow Krishna to come into our life, we become joyful and happy, and regain that lost identity of life. So, as we see in the Shishastra, the first verse, the process of devotional service is ananda vivartanam. It is supposed to make us happy. As the days progress in devotional life, they are expected to become more. Unfortunately, the situation is not always the same. We occasionally not be able to become pleasure in so many situations and become morose and lose that enjoyment, lose that joy. So, through the nine stages of Shraddha to Prema. We were discussing about how Anathanirvati stage is the most difficult of all stages. It's a big struggle. You are going through now. It's like going uphill. And then, till Anathanirvati is like going uphill. And then, it's like free flow towards the destination. So, the Anathanirvati stage is such a big struggle of getting rid of all the material attachments. We feel we don't experience that joy. But as soon as we reach the stage of Ruchi and Nishtha, Ruchi and Asakti, then that joy is unimpeded. It's like free flowing river. Shiva Maharaj explains in a nice way in his book how at the stage of Ruchi, it's like, say, imagine you are standing at the entrance of a movie theater. And at the stage of Ruchi, it's like the door is closed, but there is some crack in between. And we are like looking for the crack and having some glimpses of the movie happening. The people standing out have no idea what's going on inside. But this person at the stage of Ruchi, he gets few glimpses of the dynamics of the movie and he gets a taste. Enjoys the scene. And he's excited and thrilled about what's happening inside. But the person of Asakti, for him, the door is open. He's inside the theater, sitting comfortably on a chair, enjoying the whole thing. Display. So that's how the progress is expected to happen. I mean, we progress from gradually beyond the anarthanagri stage onwards. So if anarthanagri wasn't can enjoy, if the asakti wasn't can enjoy so much, we can imagine how much enjoyment the person on how and the might be enjoying. So as we hear the Guru Goswami talking about millions of years and billions of times, that's totally beyond our current imagination. But persons who are actually progressing on that stage, it's a continuous river of nectar going totally blissful enjoyment. So here we find how Balaramji is consoling everyone about the situation. Balaramji, before when Krishna was entangled with the coils, he was the one who tried to console all the Vrajavasis about Krishna's safety. He knew, because Krishna is only concerned about it. He cannot be killed by any significant serpent like that. But then here, Balaramji also we find when Krishna came out of the coils and reached the vines, Balaram also expressed his concern. He's moving his hands over his cheeks, over the body, checking whether there are injuries or bruises on Krishna's body. So, both holds in mind. On one side, he's totally aware. Krishna, how can Kaliya harm Krishna? But then he also expressing concern over whether he was safe inside, nothing has happened to his body. So, Balaramji being the original Guru, we find a spiritual master also sometimes and really elevated Mahabharata can, who is always seeing Krishna everywhere, he is always absorbed in Krishna, totally happy. At the same time, how Baba explains the Uttamadhikari comes to the level of Madhyama and preaches. He enters into people's lives, approaches them and shares the message of the devotional service and tries to make them devotees. So Balaramji is like this. He is concerned how the disciples are progressing, whether they are fine doing their devotional service properly. So that's how a spiritual master teaches disciples to gradually progress. Even the deity worship, how he introduces Sri Vidya, he tries to teach the disciple to take care of the deity nicely and perform devotional service properly, considering the deity to be non-different from Krishna and taking care of Krishna's body personally. That's all. So Balaramji here we find taking two roles and trying to console the Vrajavasis and pacify them. So here in all the verses we find how Nanda Maharaj and Vrajavasis, before, just as Krishna approached, or before Krishna approached, got free from the coils, the Vrajavasis are discussing what to do, how to save Krishna, how to protect Krishna and destroy Kali. So that's when Balaramji comes and consoles him. So usually, if we are in a problematic situation and if we have to get a solution, we can just consult the devotee. We can probably put in and get a solution. For critical problems and for critical solution, we have to approach the right authorities, right, consult people. We can actually award us with a proper solution. So here, fortunately, they had a law to instruct them. And we have to approach, and we are in a problematic situation, we have to make sure that we approach the right. Because whenever there is a situation, there is no shortage of obedience. People are always ready to give their opinion, give their suggestion. Even in the case of when Parikshit was cursed and he was in the assembly of saints, before Shukadeva Goswami and end of the scene, Parikshit was consulting him on how, what to do, give me a solution, how to, I have 7 days now, what to do. And everyone had different opinions, different solutions. Finally, when Shukdev Goswami entered, everyone understood all these public opinions can be kept aside. And what Shukdev Goswami was going to say, that can be taken as final. So that's when Shukdev Goswami said, no. Devote your life 7 days in hearing and chanting to do this. That's the best way to perfect. So consulting the right person at the right time is critical, otherwise you may have to waste a lot of time without reaching any proper conclusion. So when Krishna came back, or before Krishna just arrived, every devotee, all the villages, cows, calves, gopis, gopas, everyone was in that deep separation mode, Vipralamba power. So, as we know, Vipralamba and Sambho and Pralamba are two places in which devotees serve Krishna. So, Krishna occasionally withdraws from the situation and tries to intensify the love devotees have towards him. Even in the last time, we find how Krishna disappears from the scene, and that increases the separation of the devotees and his affection, their affection towards him, that intense love anchoring towards him. So, Krishna does that occasionally, frequently, and tries to bring his devotees closer and closer to him. But the separation of Sita in Ram in the past time mattered to fulfill this purpose. Even in our day-to-day dealings, it may be advisable probably to occasionally withdraw our close connections and just to maintain a good relationship with God. Because familiarity makes them feel. Rather than to give a nice statement, familiarity breeds contempt when sense gratification is in it. And familiarity breeds contempt when service to others is in it. Sorry, familiarity breeds respect when service to others is a center. Breeds contempt when selfishness or sense gratification is in it. It breeds respect when service to others is a center. So how to avoid that contempt feeling in case we are developing, occasionally take away it and go give a place and spend some time somewhere. So here we find out Krishna, after he is coming out of the toils of Kaliya, he has garlands and perfumes. Garlands and perfumes on his body. So Kaliya became a devotee after being thrashed by Krishna, and then he renders service to him. The garlands, the fragrances, perfumes are there. And Krishna walks over the waters. He doesn't swim. I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this. He walks over to the bank and then reaches the Vrindavas on the bank. So he said, Kaliya had many other serpent friends who acted as the support below Krishna's feet so that he could walk over, walking on the surface of the water. That's how he reached without getting wet. Garland getting spoiled. Otherwise, those all those things will go in the service of the reduced. So, Krishna walked over and all those serpents offered their heads. They also got a touch of Krishna's lotus feet and they also looked perfect in life. So, that's how they also rendered that. So, just because of the connection with Kaliya, connection with all the things, so many living beings got there. Everyone got delivered. So then, when they comes back to the bank, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, everyone embraces Krishna, Balaramji embraces. Nanda Maharaj is usually a little reserved compared to Yashoda. I remember one picture, this time I went to Kumbhamela, there, the Allahabad Bodhiwan. There was this photo of different rasas, evolution of the rasa. So the Ayodhya and Vaikuntha, Sankhya, Vatsalya, Madhukya. And in the Vatsalya section, the picture was of Nanda and Yashoda. But Nanda is below Yashoda. Yashoda's Vatsalya power is considered superior to Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj is usually reserved and he doesn't express his emotion openly, whereas Yashoda is openly expressing, kissing and embracing. But in this case, here Nanda Maharaj doesn't restrain himself. He is openly expressing embracing Krishna. Of course, Yashoda is not doing it. And all the other Gopas and Gopis. So Krishna is right, Krishna is in the center, and the closest elderly people, elderly devotees surrounding him, Balaramji, Yashoda, Balaramji. And then above, beyond that, there is the other covered ladies, and then the gopas, and then these are cows, that's a concentric formation. So that's how everyone is regaining their lives, consciousness after meeting Krishna. And that's how the gods of Bhagavad. So that night, they explained how they stayed overnight. They decided to stay on the river banks and spend the night. Because Krishna in this pastime, he exhibited his greatness and sweetness simultaneously. During other pastimes of killing demons, only the Gopal and the covered boyfriends could see the witness of pastime. And the Brajavasis were not witnessing that. But here everyone could see Krishna exhibit his valor, power, and the same kind of sweetness. So they didn't want to, they were totally captivated by that event. And they didn't want to forget, so they decided to stay there overnight and spend the night. And when they were there, that's when the forest fire comes and tries to kill them. But it's explained here that they were really hungry and thirsty, and they wanted desperate rest. But they decided not to drink the milk of the cows, because they feared that the cow milk was poisoned because of the Galia's poison. So they decided not to drink any milk from the cow, although they were hungry and thirsty. It's interesting that probably we can also try to follow this. Anything that is poisonous or unoffered to Krishna, we must try to stay away. Even if we are hungry. So probably that's a good lesson we can take away. Especially on Ekadashi and other things. Or we can learn how hearing from Prabhupada from courses, hearing from Mayavadis, hearing from non-devotees, poisonous, acts like poison. How is Prabhupada from Prabhupada, hearing from Pustam Trikrama, Sravana Nivadatra, Sarvodhishtha. So hearing from non-devotees and impersonalists acts like poison and can destroy that, kill the devotional spirit we have in us. So the Kaliya pastime represents how Krishna danced and removed all the enemy, right? And Kaliya became free and pure during that event. So similarly, for us, we have the chanting of the holy names, where Krishna comes in the form of holy names, dances on the tongue, and spits out. We spit out all our envy and poison. while chanting the word, that they are chanting the holy name. Seven, the five most potent forms of devotional service, which are the Sravan Kirtan, Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirtan Srimad Bhagavatam, video sharing, Thama Seva. So the first three, hearing, chanting and studying Srimad Bhagavatam are considered top, the best. So if you can't follow all five, you should try to at least follow the first three. And if it is impossible to follow all three, at least we should follow the first two, hearing and chanting. And if circumstances force us to follow only one, then we should take to the chanting of the holy name. So chanting is considered as the most important limb of devotional service. Although sarana is essential to begin the chanting, but once we understand the importance and the glories of chanting, we should give primary importance to that process. And that's how that we call it the Yuga Dharma, or Chaitanya Ji will inaugurate this process. And that is the most important activity that can award us the highest perfection. Any other process is supporting and assisting this main activity, chanting the word. So these are the thoughts I have. Just talking. Anyone has any question? Any comments? Dantvashyam Bhagavatam Ki Jai.